The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
There are too many Christians that are dividing with one another over secondary, tertiary issues. If we are really sold out to God, like you talked about, we're going to be about the Father's business.
Absolutely.
And the Father's business, Jesus told us what it was before he left this planet. He said, go into all the world and make disciples.
Absolutely.
That's the way we're going to transform the world.
Dr. Robert Jeffress encourages unity against the influence of today's culture. Next.
Welcome to Life Today. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Betty, and this is James, and we have a very good friend of ours as a guest today.
We have Robert Jeffress, but I'm looking at you thinking, because I mentioned to him in the program we did before this one earlier in the week, and I said, Doc, do you realize that in October of this year, I would have been preaching 60 years? I mean, you say, James, you don't even look 60. Oh, thank you. I know you'd say that about Betty, but honey, I look at you and realize that, you know, how many years are we going to be married at the next?
59.
Because she says it's 58, and she said several times this year, you said 57. It's 58. We've been married 58 years, and you're beautiful. You're radiant. Thank you for the way I know you love her. Many people have asked, how is it that you have such a blessed ministry and such an incredibly blessed family? To think that by the end of the year, we're going to have 13 great-grandchildren, and we have 11 grandchildren, 10 of them married, and they're just having babies. And so, you know, we're going to have 24 total grandchildren. By the end of the year, we're really, really blessed. And really, why is that you're so blessed? Because we really decided, as much as we could understand, we wanted to lose our life in Christ to find it. And I'm going to be talking to Dr. Jeffress, who is just one of my favorite people on the planet, not only one of the favorite preachers and pastors and teachers, but also authors, and one of the greatest guests we ever have on Life Today, because he communicates very directly mm-hmm. with you mm-hmm. as though he's sitting right there in the room with you, because he is. And that's the way he communicates to his church. He's written another book. I think he's written more than 20 now, and they're all exceptional. This is Invincible. He touches on the areas of concerns that we're facing right now that have pulled many people down into a pit of despair and depression and even hopelessness. Well, he helps show us we can be invincible, conquering the mountains that separate you from the blessed life. Our pastor, Robert Morris, appreciates you putting that in there about the blessed life. This is the life of blessing that God wants for all of us, where we realize there's no greater blessing than being a blessing. But you got to get in the right place and not let those mountains separate you from God. Dr. Jeffress, I'm glad to have you back.
It's great to be back.
We mentioned in the last show that we want to try to give some counsel and some encouragement to all the people in the body of Christ. We might say to everybody that understands the importance and the value of freedom, and understands, if you don't, you better get it quickly. Freedom has a foundation. Life has a foundation. It can be rock solid and unshakable if it's the principles of Almighty God. You talk about those in this book. What do you believe Christians need to do? Because these are perilous times.
Yes.
They're shaky times. Mm-hmm. They're troubling times. You agree?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
We should be troubled by them.
Yes.
We should be concerned about them. Give us some counsel.
I think this is a pivotal time for Christians. I think it's a pivotal time for our country. And, you know, I go back to 1 Chronicles 12:32 about the sons of Issachar. The Bible says they were men who understood their times and knew what Israel should do. And I think as Christians, we need to really be discerning about the times we're living in so we can know what we're supposed to do. And, you know, I think Christians go to several extremes when it comes to what should we do in the culture? Should we have any anything to do with the culture. I don't understand these Christians who think we're supposed to live in a holy huddle and just wait for Jesus to come back. We're not to be silo Christians. We're to influence. We're to impact our culture. Jesus called it being salt, being light. And I think we understand we need to push back against evil. Yes. One way we do that is through the leaders that we elect. Mm-hmm. When people say, oh, elections don't matter. Leaders don't matter. I mean, leaders determine policy. Policy determines the direction of a nation. If you don't believe that, look at Adolf Hitler. A leader determined policy, and policy determined direction. We need to be concerned about that. But James and Betty, what I'm concerned about is also some Christians can get so immersed in the culture, so immersed in the political front, that they lose sight of the other thing Jesus said we're to do, and that's to be light, to share the gospel with people. It's not either or. It's both and. Yes, let's push back against evil leaders and evil policies. But let's remember, the gospel transcends politics. It transcends race. It stands by itself. And what I'm afraid I see happening in the church today is there are too many Christians that are dividing with one another over secondary, tertiary issues. And you all have done such a great job of bringing the body of Christ together so that we can do the unique thing the church was called to do, and that is to share the gospel. I mean, I could divide First Baptist Dallas if I wanted to over vaccinations. I could divide over race. I could divide over all kind of hot button issues.
Over a political party.
Over a political party.
A point of view politically.
Yeah. Look, Christianity is not Republicanism or Democratism. It is transcendent of all political parties.
It's not denominational either.
No, it's not.
I believe you and I know Baptists have held fast to the Word of God. Every charismatic and Pentecostal friend I've met around the world has said, had it not been for Baptists, we would not, in our world of oftentimes experientialism and maybe hyper-emotionalism, this is what they're saying. This is the leaders of the great moves of God through these different groups. They said that Baptists kept the Word of God up as the reliable authority, and we could understand it under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And it's not the letter that's the answer, but doing what the letter says, because
that's
it's
right.
The Spirit that gives life when the Spirit comes on those who understand what God's saying. Let me just say something to you right here. When you have trouble, you're going to be invited by many forces and influences. And they're going to be inviting you oftentimes to become a part of a movement or start a new movement. In other words, there are a lot of people talking about, we need to start a new party. We need a new political party. That's like saying we need a new denomination. Just about how many Baptist denominations do we have? Scores of them. I mean, it's enough to make you dizzy. It's enough to make you and God nauseated. We just start over a disagreement. And we've got to stop the nonsense and that supernatural unity. That's what he said pray for. Not supernatural sameness. God is a God of diversity. No two fingerprints the same. No two snowflakes the same. He doesn't make identical. He makes beautiful diversity and beautiful design. All right, bring all of that together, not to start a movement, not even to join a movement. You've got to understand that there are plenty of movements calling for your attention, plenty of denominations calling for your attention. Jesus called for us to yield our lives to the master potter's shaping hand, to be shaped into a vessel of honor through which he freely flowed in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
We don't need a new movement. We need a move of the Holy Spirit that impacts every movement in a positive, profound, transforming way. Is this good preaching, sir?
Yes. Let's take the offering right now.
Go for it. It's a matter of really and truly saying, I'm going to do what He designed me to do, desires me to do, left me here to do. I'm going to show people what the real Father who knows best, who loves perfectly, who can deliver the best, who can direct our steps, who can guide our hearts and our desires. That's who I'm going to sell out to.
That's right.
Give Him this earthen vessel to be filled to overflowing with the power of the Holy Spirit. Everything God wants done is done in the power of His Spirit.
That's right.
The Spirit of the living Jesus living in us.
That's right.
Because Jesus said, I'm sending one like me to live in Dr. Jeffers, James Robinson Betty. Sometimes we can look at somebody like Betty and say, well, we can see that. But He wants it for everybody. And that's what people have to do right now. I want to yield my life to fulfill God's kingdom purpose. Take off on that a little bit and expand.
I have to just tell you, my dad's in heaven right now, but he was saved through an Assembly of God chaplain when he was in the Air Force. The chaplain knew he was going to move to Dallas. This was the end of 1940s, and my dad said, where should you go to church? Where should I go to church? He said, if you're going to Dallas, there's only one church, First Baptist Church, Dallas, because that's where the Bible's taught.
And but by he the always way, there is only one church. Has
that's
all
right.
These, but it's his church.
It's his church.
And because you represent his church as a part of his church, that's why this Assembly of God pastor said, go and be there because God's there.
But my dad always had an affinity for the Assembly of God. So he would take us to First Baptist Dallas in the morning, would go to the Assembly of God at night where I was dedicated to the Lord.
That's refreshing.
But he loved you, James. He loved you because of that kind of preaching you just did and your desire to bring all of the body of Christ together. And that's when he died, he left you in his will. I mean, he wanted this ministry, Life Outreach, to continue to be a beacon for the gospel. Look,
you also told me that when he was going through a challenging time, I actually called him and prayed with him.
You did. He was going through pancreatic cancer.
And we literally reach out. I believe that our staff is as beautiful a picture of the body of Christ and the love of God for one another and for God and for others of any people I've seen anywhere on the planet. Now, that's a beautiful thing to be able to say. That's what we should be able to say about every church and everybody that's meeting in a church. We need to be the body of Christ.
And if we are really sold out to God, like you talked about, we're going to be about the Father's business.
Absolutely.
And the Father's business, Jesus told us what it was before he left this planet. He said, go into all the world and make disciples.
Absolutely.
That's the way we're going to transform the world. Again, it's not either or. You know, Christians have to learn how to multitask. Yes, we can vote. We ought to vote. It's a sin not to vote, I think. I think you need to use whatever influence God gives you to push back. But at the same time you're voting, don't think you're going to change the world through the political process. You may just keep evil away longer so that we have longer to preach the gospel. Yep. Our unique goal is to go out here and share the love and salvation that Jesus Christ offers. It's not either or. It's both.
He didn't leave us here to get us out of here.
That's right.
He left us here for him to come in here in power.
And he was honest about it. He said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have problems. I think we're going to have increasing problems. I'm getting ready to preach through the book of Acts right now. Persecution came incrementally, but it came, and it became more and more intense. I think we're going to face that. That's what I talk about, invincible. In fact, we have real obstacles in our personal life. Jesus said, in this world, you'll have tribulation. But then he said, take courage, for I have overcome
That's
the
so
world.
Good.
He's not going
so
to
good.
Deliver us from problems, but he is going to take us out of the problems, and he'll be with us through
or
the problems.
Or deliver us in the fire.
Yeah.
And the courage comes from him.
That's right.
When we feel our weakest, he is his strongest.
That's right.
If we will just receive that and to realize that, I want to take a minute talking about the sameness. I know growing up as a good little Baptist girl, I taught that I was supposed to do everything the same as everybody else in the church,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
That bothered me.
Yes.
That confused me because I thought, well, I'm not outgoing like this person, or I'm different than this other person out here. God, if we have Jesus in our hearts, he's what makes us one.
Yes.
But he also, God gave us different personalities. He gave us different gifts.
That's right.
And I look, you know, the illustration I have to look at is our children. We got three wonderful children and all these grandchildren and great-grandchildren. They came from the same family, but they're all different.
Yes.
And I love the difference in them.
That's right.
I look forward to the difference in my children, my grandchildren, great-grandchildren. I love it. I think it brings new life into our family. And so to criticize, though, that, oh, you need to be the same, and I think that's where our world's kind of headed right now. Yeah. Well, everybody, you're supposed to think the same, believe the same, walk the same, say the same words, speak the same way. That's not how God created
us. No, and I think
He's so creative. He gave us different gifts.
And that's why different Christians in the body of Christ have different perspectives
yes.
on certain things. Some people have a gift of mercy, and they tend to look at one set of circumstances one way. Some people have the gift of prophecy, exhortation. I mean, James is a prophet.
That's right.
He's been a prophet for 60 years, and things are pretty black and white, you know, with James. And I have a gift. But instead of condemning people for a different perspective, we ought to realize maybe God brought them into the body to help me become more like Christ.
Absolutely. Boy, that's what Billy Graham said to me. I suggest you spend time with people you've been taught to avoid, meaning other Christians. And boy, that was a transforming moment. When I heard you say, I'm about to preach through the book of Acts, I must say this. I'm going to sow this seed. I told you I'm going to spend much of the rest of my life sowing seed in people who will be far more fruitful in their effect than I am. They're going to be more gifted. You are in ways that I can't do it. That doesn't mean I'm less important. It means you have a different perspective and point of view and a different approach and a different gifting to present it. When you said I'm going to preach through the gift of Acts, I'm going to sow this thought. And I pray it's carry through the theme of the book of Acts. But listen to it. Now listen to me. The disciples had spent 3 years with Jesus. He taught them the kingdom. That's the first thing he said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Later he said, it's in you. At the end, they still didn't understand it. He came back after the resurrection, spent 40 more days explaining it. At the end of the book of Acts, Paul is still trying to help you understand the kingdom. But here's what happened. When the prayer of Jesus was fulfilled in one little setting. This just shows you how powerful it is. Come together in supernatural unity. He told them, you tarry until you're endued with power from on high before you send it. And they tarried in one accord in that upper room. Here's what happened. Boy, here's the book of Acts. When they came out of the upper room, including Simon Peter, the king, the kingdom at hand, the kingdom Jesus said is in you, the spirit that he put in them, resident in them became president in them. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living Jesus, took over those earthen vessels. When they walked out of that upper room, they walked out in kingdom power, Dr. Yes. Jeffers. Kingdom power That's carried right. them all the way through the book of Acts. And if you wonder what areas of life did those kingdom disciples affect, read the book of Acts. Every area that's important, that's from right. academics to national leadership to theological error to religious nonsense and deception to you crucified, the Son of God, you, the leaders, the religious leaders, the political leaders, you rejected the very truth that will give you freedom. They preached it all the way through that's the right. end. Okay. They might not have been able to explain it at the end of Acts. Mm-hmm. Paul wouldn't have spent two more years trying to explain it if most people got it. But this is the beautiful thing about it. You don't have to be able to explain it to experience it. They experience the power of the Holy Spirit. Too many people are discussing the Holy Spirit, arguing about the Holy Spirit, rather than yielding to the fullness and power of the Holy Spirit and be carried. They're split on gifts of the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit, speaking in tongues, not speaking. We've got to stop the nonsense and let the power of the Holy Spirit we're discussing take over and carry us. Can this fit into your message on the book of Acts?
I am making notes in my mind. I'm going to steal every word of what you just said, okay?
And
I may not give you any credit for it.
No,
I will. I'll give you credit for it.
Listen, God said, what hast thou that thou didst not receive?
That's right.
Father, I pray that every pastor, teacher, shepherd, prophet, evangelist will realize that we can experience what oftentimes we can't explain. We can't explain clearly the spiritual birth, being born from above. We can't explain it, but we can experience it, and we have.
That's right.
And the fullness of the Holy Spirit and the fruitfulness of the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit can be experienced, the power of the Spirit. And we can make a kingdom impact on planet Earth. In Jesus' name, listen to me. You were left here for kingdom purpose. We come together, uniquely designed parts of the body, all of us appreciating and supporting one That's another, right. building one another up, but we all submit to the one head, and that's Jesus. Father, let it happen. Mm-hmm. Doc, I want everybody to go online and get the book, but I want to tell you something else. We're going to give shoes and smiles for Christmas. Our viewers know it's more blessed to give yeah. than receive. They know the greatest blessing is blessing,
That's right.
blessing others. So we're going to ask you to give some shoes and some smiles. We'll send you, along with other gifts that you're going to really like, I promise you're going to like them, we'll send you Dr. Jeffers' book. You just help us give some shoes to children, some smiles to children. I want you to watch this. You're going to be moved. And you're going to do the Father's will. You're going to be a blessing. Watch closely.
If there's one thing mothers around the world pray for above all else, it's the health of their children. And with everything these children are exposed to, that can be a tall order. This year, you may have partnered with Life Outreach out of compassion to take care of some basic needs, like clean drinking water and a daily bowl of food. But have you ever thought about the dangers children face every day simply from being children? With poverty as the deciding factor in what these mothers can provide for their children, a pair of shoes is a necessity that many children will never have. This coming Christmas season, we'd like to do something special for these children and give them a pair of shoes of their very own. These shoes will not only protect their feet from injury and disease, but will be a treasured possession that will remind them of God's love.
We come over here to be a blessing, but we always go back so much more blessed, James, I think, because we see what can be done. We know that our friends, because they love children, they love to give, they love to share. That's you I'm talking about. You love to help. And this is a real need, shoes for the children. Please join with us. You'll get such great joy out of it. I know you will. God bless you. Thank you.
You know, honey, you have a beautiful smile. That's what got me. And watching you smile all over the world, just think about this. Here, Betty and I, after just preaching crusades in stadiums and coliseums for over 30 years, seeing millions of people come to Christ, we started going to the ends of the earth. And for the last 25, now pressing 30 years, we've been going and putting arms of love around those children, watching those smiles on Betty's face, looking at all those ones you'd recognize given the shoes. Seeing these beautiful children smile, I know you love that. There's no question in my mind. I wish you'd come back and show the picture where we're all sitting there together and just holding those kids. I look at that and I say, God, that's so beautiful. Those are your children and you love them. And we've got your arms around them. And we're not just telling them that we love them. We're showing them we love them by giving them water or food. And now then, we're going to put some shoes on their little feet. And you saw those awful sores. You got to understand, Betty and I stood there and watched children die because of hookworms that got in their feet, through the cuts on their feet, and ended up in their brain. Father, please, let us put peace on the feet of these children that you love so much, in Jesus' name. Would you give us a miracle outpouring of love right now? Did you know that for $1,000 you can give 275 pairs of shoes? And Dr. Jeffers, I always start high. People can think small on their own. So I know that if we give a $36 gift, for instance, that's 10 pairs of shoes. So don't think 36 is small, because for 10 children, it's big in their families. Doc, I want to always try to get people to think beyond what they might think and say, God, can I do more? If you do exceedingly abundantly, can I do more than I thought? I want you to pray about giving the largest possible gift. We're going to send you the beautiful little Christmas ornament for any gift. We're going to send you this beautiful box of Christmas shoes, many that we've shared over the past years. Remember, the ribbon represents Water for Life, Mission Feeding, Rescue Life, and then the new one, Shoes and Smiles. Christmas Shoes and Smiles. We'll send that to you if you make a $100 gift. But I also want to encourage you to consider, and Betty, let's really be praying together right now this will happen. If you could give $1,000 or more, or $10,000, do it. What a gift. Let me tell you what we're going to be doing with some of those larger gifts. We're going to do cleft palate surgery. And we're going to give children not only shoes, but smiles for Christmas. Let's just pray. Mm-hmm. Father, please touch every heart, everyone who can help to help, even above and beyond what they might have thought, in Jesus' name. And we're trusting God to bless you as you bless others. And let me tell you something else. You make any gift, the Christmas Shoes and Smiles, not only what I mentioned, but if you want Dr. Jeffers' book, say, would you please send me that? You better believe we will, because we want to bless you just as you're blessing others. Go online, dial the number, take your bank card, use it like a check. Make the best gift you can. Do it now. Thank you so much.
Poverty is a killer, and because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we often take for granted, like a simple pair of shoes. Far too many children living in extreme poverty have never owned a new pair of shoes. And while that may seem minor in light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections and disease that could lead to crippling consequences and even death. By responding today, you will help secure and make ready 150,000 Christmas shoes to be shipped and delivered to children around the world just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will help provide 10 pairs of shoes. A gift of $72 will provide 20 pair. And a gift of $180 will help provide 50 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. As a thank you for your gift of support, be sure to request this beautifully crafted green crystal shoe ornament, a treasure to display each Christmas. With your gift of $100 or more, you may also request this keepsake boxed set of all four shoe ornaments, celebrating the various outreaches of life. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide over 275 pairs of shoes or two children with corrective cleft lip or palate surgeries, and you may request the beautiful Divine Servant bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Well, Dr. Jeffress and Betty and I have had a good time today. I hope you have. You might want to tell your friends to watch this, and they can watch it live today, online, go to YouTube, watch it. Our program that we air every day is on, and it'll be on from now on, so you can share it. Dr. Jeffress, I'm praying for you to experience the greatest impact, not just on First Baptist A Church, but on the church. Mm. That First Baptist will impact his church, the church, which is everyone that knows him. I really pray that for you.
Thank you, James. Thank you, Betty.
Thank you for being a great friend. We'll send you this book if you just help us give shoes and smiles. I do hope you'll help us give some smiles. They're $500, and that's because they are able to do them at very low expense because of the doctor's willingness to be missionaries themselves. But you help us, and you're going to love these little shoes on your trees, Betty. Thank you so much for being such a blessing to me and to your family and all the people that watch us. And Dr. Jeffress, continue on. I'm going to be excited to watch what happens when you show people what kingdom power does through the book of Acts.
Thank you.
Thanks for watching. Tell your friends to watch Life Today and share Life Today.
I didn't know that I could be liked for myself or for who I was, and so I was constantly trying to be somebody else.
Joyce Meyer, next week. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.